This evening for a message, I would like to take a message from 1 Peter in chapter 1. The title tonight, The Reason to Live. I'd also like to give a subtitle with the question, Have you found purpose in life? The Reason to Live, Have you found purpose in life? The first part of this passage reflects much on the blessings that God has given to us. This passage was written by Peter to encourage Christians who were facing difficult times. I'd like to just read verse 7 right from the beginning. I'd like for you to think about this verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I have a couple questions I'd like to ask. The first one is, what gave Peter the motivation and inspiration to take time to write to these Christians? Think about that. Secondly, why would people want to continue the Christian life if it meant to endure hardship and suffering? You know, obviously they had found a greater reason than themselves. And tonight, my desire is for each one of us that we could find real meaning and purpose in life. You know, as we think of Christians in America today, there's a sense where we don't face very much persecution. You know, we live in a free land, and we're not tied to the stake and burned for our faith. We're not asked to recant necessarily. But suffering and hardship is a normal part of our life that we deal with. Sometimes a question we might be tempted to ask ourselves at times when we're facing these things is it really worth it? Is it really worth it to go through all this suffering to be a Christian? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What did you do with that thought? Where did you go? This evening it is my desire to confront this question with truth. To believe that the Christian life isn't worth living is to believe a lie that the devil poses to us through discouragement, through hardship, or too much self-focus. And my concern this evening is that we don't linger on that lie, because that lie takes us down really fast. Real, real fast. But rather, I would like to focus on the Word of God to get a proper perspective of the blessings in serving God. The Christian walk shouldn't be a coming to an end kind of thing. Have you ever had goals that you set for yourself and you started out and you were going to accomplish something and after a while it just petered out? Just didn't go. It just didn't work. Well, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life should be a growing experience, not a coming to an end kind of thing. I would like to use this passage to find some nuggets to encourage us to believe that the Christian life is well worth living. I'd like to look at some reasons that give the Christian purpose in life. Well, first of all, I'd like to read this passage, the first 12 verses, that is, 1 Peter 1, and starting at verse 1. Peter, and apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered abroad throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I enjoy reading that passage. It's just so positive. It's such a blessing that I just want you to think about Peter just a little bit. You know, that impulsive person, that person that denied Christ 3 times after the cock crowed. Well, we know a little bit about Peter, don't we? You know, what brought him to this kind of place that he could read, just write such a beautiful passage like this? It's just a blessing to our life, an encouragement. And I believe Peter had come to the place where he had found real meaning and purpose in life. And that's certainly what we want. Well, let's pick out a few of things in here that I think Peter learned and see what we can learn. I'm simply going to take some phrases, or I believe they're phrases from this passage, and expound on them. And with each of my points, I think here I have 8 of them. I have 8 points I want to look at tonight. And with each of these points, I have a slogan to clarify or to go with or to make it stick for you to remember. What gave Peter purpose in life? What gives us purpose in life? The reason to live. Number 1, exaltation of Jesus. And my slogan for this is, we have someone to praise. I want you to notice the different times that Jesus Christ, or Jesus, is mentioned throughout this passage. I like to pick them out. Verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It also mentions the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And also, the sufferings of Christ. Verse 13, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we didn't read that, but it goes on, even verse 19. The precious blood of Jesus, or the precious blood of Christ. I want to ask you a question. Why is Jesus' name mentioned so many times in this passage? You know why I believe it is? Because I believe it shows the importance of Christ. The exaltation of Jesus Christ. Peter had found a blessing in Christ. He didn't mind being called an apostle of Christ. He had experienced the sprinkling of blood on his life through Christ. And the list could go on. Brothers and sisters, it is through Christ that we have grace, mercy, and peace multiplied. It is through Jesus that we have this lively hope. It is through Jesus that we have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It is through Jesus that we have salvation. What the prophets have inquired and searched diligently for down through the ages of time. And even the angels would like to look at it, into it. This evening I'm going to ask you a question. Does Jesus' name mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to you? Have you experienced the blessing of being born again? Oh, as wretched as I was. Oh, I was so scared to sleep at night because I was afraid before I gave my heart to Christ. I lived in so much fear. I lived in so much guilt. It was miserable. When Jesus comes into your heart and life and you make that U-turn and you walk the other way, it's something different. You begin to experience blessings in your life. Different songwriters have voiced their opinion on this. The exaltation of Jesus Christ. We have someone to praise. One writer says, take the world, but give me Jesus. Another songwriter writes, Jesus is all the world to me. Another songwriter writes, all for Jesus. All for Jesus. Still another writer says, nothing but the blood of Jesus. If the name of Jesus means anything to your life this morning, this evening, you will have purpose in life. We will dedicate our lives to worship and praise Jesus because He's done so much for us. And I believe if we could grasp this worth of Jesus, we're going to understand it will take the rest of eternity to praise and worship Him. What a blessing we have. Praising Jesus will give a Christian a reason to live. We have someone to praise. Purpose in life. That's purpose in life. Number two, ministering to others. And we find that in verse 1. Peter was writing this letter, and I raised a question, why? How many letters have you written in life to encourage people? He lists five different places here. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Five different places. My slogan with this one is we have someone to help. Peter was reaching out to these people by taking time to write letters. And Peter wrote words of encouragement for them to read. Peter must have understood the blessing and responsibility of reaching out to other people. Throughout time, Peter writes various chapters to us that we can go to and read and have the blessing of looking into and being encouraged. And as we think of our own life, I believe our focus should be to encourage other people. I believe we need to have a desire to share with people the good news of salvation. As Christians, we look for opportunities in helping others find peace for their guilt. And when we keep this mission, it helps us to stay focused. There's something about that responsibility of reaching out to others that helps us from getting too self-focused. Right? When we get self-focused, often we get discouraged. But when we're not self-focused, we minister to the needs around us. And as we minister, it takes the focus off of ourselves, and it puts the focus on God, and it looks to meet others' needs, and we share our testimony, and we search for truth for the Word of God, from the Word of God, to give people answers. See, we find something to do. And this strengthens our walk with God because we minister. As we minister, we receive God's truth for our lives. I want to encourage you that the next time that you feel discouraged, count your blessings in your life and reach out to other people. Now, I understand we need to fill ourselves up. We can't give to other people what we don't really have ourselves, can we? Doesn't work. And so that's why Christ is so important in our life. But as we fill our lives up with Christ, sometimes, you know, even then, we start to get our focus on ourselves. We need to get it off of ourselves. And we need to reach out to others. There's many different opportunities that we have to reach out to others. But this reaching out will give you a purpose in life. You have a reason for life. It's not all about your selfish agenda. It's not all about what I can get out of life. The Bible says it is better to give than to receive. Now, obviously, we all want to experience salvation, but there's a measure of giving that does something for us. Purpose in life, ministering to others. We have someone to help. No, helping others will give us purpose in life. And I believe that's what Peter had found to do. Thirdly, we have election of God in verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And my slogan with this one is, we have someone who cares. The dictionary definition of election is this: especially in Christianity, the fact of being chosen by God, or God's act of choosing somebody for special favor, salvation, or tests. Does that mean something to you tonight? Do you know how much God loves you tonight? How much He cares for you? Do you know that He chose you as a person for a special work and a special purpose? I don't know how many of you ever were playing games at school or wherever you were, and you went and picked teams and you were the last person picked. Doesn't feel so good, does it? Well, you don't have to be worried about being picked last by God. God chose you. He wanted you. Even before you were born, He wanted you. And sometimes we look at life and we say, well, that was just a coincidence. Well, was it or wasn't it? In reality, it was providence. Because there's nothing out of control with God. All the details of our life are planned by God even before they ever happened. It was providence that God in His foreknowledge planned the details of our lives even before we were born. It was God that allowed me to be born in my mother's womb. It was God who gave me breath. Not too long ago, I was told, I had never known this, or if I did, I'd forgotten, but my family members told me that when I was born, they weren't sure if I was going to make it, because I was turning blue. And the midwife thought it might affect me and my schoolwork and etc. Here I am today. Did it affect me? I don't know. But I'm surviving today. I'm living. God's breath is in me, and I'm living. But that was God's plan. He gave that breath to me for a certain purpose and reason. I didn't know why. but here I am. It was God who allowed us to have us born to the parents that we have. We can't change it, can we? It was God who allows, even the circumstances and the sufferings that we face. Not God. He wouldn't do that to me. Oh, yes, He would. Even the Twin Towers was an act of God. Maybe not the way it should have been, but God allowed it. It was God's way of bringing judgment to the nation. In His way of saying, return to me. I have a better plan for America. God allowed it. He was speaking to America. And although it was wrong for them to do that, God allowed that for a purpose and a plan. It was God's plan in 2015 that we would be here this evening for worship. And we don't always understand God's ways, but we see that He is in control of our life and He cares for us. This morning, this evening, we can rest assured that God didn't make a mistake when He chose us. It wasn't a half-hearted attempt on God's part to make us feel good that we came into this world. No, providence. His plans for our lives were not unthought of or loose-ended. Sometimes we come up to things and we say, wow, we never seen that coming. God can't say that. He sees everything coming. It's all right there. Our lives are planned by a sovereign God who has the details of life mapped out before us, before we even ever existed. I don't know about you, but doesn't that bring some comfort? It sure does to me. God cares about me. Doesn't that do something to you? When you go about your daily life and you're facing hard times and life trials and circumstances and you have somewhere to go to and you say, but God, all things work together for good for them that love God. Not quoted quite right. But you get the picture there, don't you? God cares for us. When we think of God's care and careful interest for us, it should give us a desire to be inspired about life and look forward to what God will unfold before us. We have someone who cares. You know, I believe that should give us purpose in life. Someone to care for us. There's many people out there that are neglected. Maybe they're not given enough food. Relationships are bad and etc. But God doesn't let us down. He's always there. Fourthly, we have in verse 3, reflection of God's mercy, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. And my slogan with this is, we have someone to thank. Peter was writing this letter to help the people reflect on God's mercy. And when we reflect on God's goodness and God's mercy, it will help us cultivate a heart of thankfulness. Thankfulness will keep our hearts from discouragement. Discouragement has deep roots in poor me kind of attitude. It's a very ungrateful attitude. People who are discouraged often are feeling like, well, I'm not getting what I deserve. This evening, if you're discouraged, I would just like to say, count your blessings. You know, when we take a realistic look at what we have been blessed with, it's much more than what we deserve. As Christians, we have so much to be thankful for, but we often take it for granted, don't we? We often don't think about it. Christians can look back with sense of satisfaction. That's why the Christian life is so worth living for. I mean, there's people that go out in life and they do their own thing and they look back and they come up empty. They set up goals and dreams. They follow their lusts and their desires. And as long as they have something to pursue and look forward to, they're good to go. Because it's always the next thing. It's always the next agenda. But when they stop, they look back, they feel empty. it wasn't what they expected. They look back at their life, knowing that their dreams and goals are shattered, giving them an urge to cover up their depressed feeling with a hangover, a party, or even suicide. They didn't get what they expected, and they don't want to deal with it anymore. When Christians reflect over the past, his heart should swell with thankfulness. The past is a source of encouragement. You know that thankful attitude that we can look back to and say, yes, you know what? I used to couldn't sleep at night very good, but now I can. I was scared to die, but now I just don't have so much fear anymore. It's different. The Christian has a reason to live because he is someone to thank. And that will give us purpose in life. Number 5, in verse 5, we have the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And my slogan with this one is, we have someone to depend on. There's a few words in this passage that give us some indications of this power. In verse 2, we have sanctification, a work of power. We have multiplied, a work of power. We also have verse 3, begotten. And also in verse 3, we have resurrection, all pointing to power of God. These actions can't be accomplished without God, without the power of God. Think about your life a little bit. Have you ever been left down by someone? Maybe you made a deal with someone and you thought everything was good. You shook hands on it. And you thought everything would be all right. But as time went on, you soon discovered that that person wasn't really interested in keeping up his end of the deal. Could have been a business deal or anything like that. Well, in times like those, we feel hurt and betrayed by persons' dishonesty and no-care attitude. It's even possible that this person wants to make the obligation, but for some reason he can't. He would like to meet it, but he just can't. This evening, I want to tell you that God will never let you down. He has given us a promise that we can depend on him. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's just one. And the Bible says that God cannot lie. The Bible also says that God could find no greater. He swore by himself. God is the greatest being, and nothing will resist him in anything that he wants to accomplish. His power is unreachable from all other, and he's not limited in any way. Is that the kind of God you want to serve? That's the kind of God I want to serve. That I can go to him in every situation of life, and I know he's going to be there for me. The people that don't have God, I don't know where they all turn. Well, we know where some of them turn. Alcohol and drugs and suicide and, well, you name it. But in every situation, as a Christian looks at his life, he knows that he can come back to someone that he can depend on. You know, when we worry these promises, we know they're going to happen and we know they're going to be true. There's nothing that's going to stop this book. This is going to happen. That gives us purpose in life. When we know it's for real, something that doesn't change. There's all kinds of things that change out there. Even views on evolution, they're always changing. But we have something That's not going to change. And the power of God is there for us to depend on. Something that's sure, something that's strong, something that's going to last. I want to serve a God who will never be beat by anything or anyone. That should give us purpose in life, a reason to live. We have someone to depend on. It's the power of God. Secondly, trials to refine us. You know, we often don't look at this as a blessing in our life, do we? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. My slogan with this one is, we have something to make us stronger. Peter encourages us to greatly rejoice when we're given trials. That's pretty hard to do, isn't it? It's pretty tough. It doesn't feel good to have trials in our life. Most of us, I would guess, would struggle with accepting the trials and the temptations that come our way. And difficult times can be very challenging for us. Sometimes we might wonder, why do I need to go through this? We might think there's just no good reason for these afflictions. Is this true? Peter explains that this refining process will do us good. He goes on to explain that even gold does not compare to the trials, what trials can do for us. I understand that Christians don't necessarily just live to have trials. That's not my point. But we need to consider what trials can do for us to help us understand how much we need this. I'd like to give an illustration. I thought of a sapling out there in the woods, a small tree that's surrounded by the adult trees. And somewhere in the middle, this little tree begins to grow, and he gets bigger and bigger. And the winds blow, and the storms come, and the big trees hover over him, and he's protected. And this little tree is very happy to be protected by these big trees, because he doesn't want to deal with the storms of life that come. He's very happy. But one day, a logger comes in, and he cuts down all the mature trees around this little tree. And takes those big trees away, and the little tree stands there to be ready to fight on his own. But what he doesn't quite understand is that those big trees have protected him so much that now the big storms that come in life and the winds that blow are going to lay that tree over. And he's not going to be used for the fullest of what he could have been. Although this young tree enjoyed the protection of the other trees, it would have been better had he faced stronger winds to toughen him up for the bigger storms that were sure to come against him. Had this tree been exposed to the winds from his youth, it could have stood the storm in which it fell and be used for greater service when the logger came in years later to cut it down and use it for a good purpose. Let's think of our Christian life. Isn't it true that we need trials in our life to make us strong? That's why Peter encourages us to rejoice greatly. Should we not be glad for those trials that come to make us stronger? It's maybe the very essence that is going to keep us on track so that we're not blown away when the storms of wind come to turn against God. And we can be that tree that's strong and stands And we can grow and be used to the Master. And He can use us to the fullest because we have allowed trials to make us stronger. A Christian has a reason to live because he wants to grow strong. He has a goal in mind. And I know it's not just about being strong in this world. It's about being strong because we have an eternity coming. It's really the difference. Trials to refine us. We have something to make us stronger. Purpose in life. Number 7, rejoicing with joy unspeakable. We find that in verse 8. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. Christians have the greatest source of joy on earth. There's people running here and there trying to find happiness, trying to find great joy in earthly pursuit. But they fail to see that the greatest joy is simply found in walking the Christian life. People don't want to surrender to that. People spend endless amounts of money for vacations and home improvements and business pursuits, entertainment parks, and everything else. And some of these people are very keenly interested in letting us know all their big trips and all the things they're doing, and it looks like happiness. But you know what? When you look at the core issue, it's empty. It doesn't take long to see if you look at all the homes, the divorce rate, broken homes, the children, hurting children, financial obligations that can't be met. And they result in despair and stress. We find people trying to run away from their problems. Rejoicing with joy unspeakable. My slogan is, we have something to give us joy. People are trying to find happiness from outward things. But true joy comes from inward peace. And Peter refers to this unspeakable joy, and you get the idea that maybe you're not always able to express it. It might not always be bubbling out. But when it comes down to the deep part of your heart, it's there. That peace. And this is something that the unbeliever can't process or experience. It is not shown by what we own or what we can pursue, but rather by our actions of kindness. Actions of true kindness will bring back blessings that cannot be numbered, resulting in more joy. Joy is a great gift. Joy, a reason to live, purpose in life. Very much, certainly. 8, the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. My slogan is, we have something to look forward to. It's no wonder that Peter addresses his letter, did you catch that in verse 1? To the strangers scattered abroad. Why did he call them strangers? Well, I think he was acknowledging that this world was not their primary focus. You know, each person in this world is getting closer to the time when he's going to pass off the scenes either by death or the return of Jesus Christ. It's coming. Sure it is. While many are living their lives for the present, the Christian is concerned about preparing for the future. Knowing a brighter future awaits us encourages us to press onward. No accomplishment in this world or this earth will be worth not being prepared for the appearing of Jesus Christ. I believe it's hard to grasp the beauty and wonder of the future to come. And within it lies some fear of the unknown, but we don't need to fear. We know our future, but there's many people that don't. As Christians, we know
We know our future. We have the blessing of knowing that we have a beautiful home. We have the blessing of knowing that Jesus will take us through these trials and these circumstances that we're facing life are only going to be for a short time. And then it's going to be over and we'll be at a better place. We have something to look forward to, the appearing of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let's be faithful. I don't know what you're going to face in the next week or the next year. I want to be faithful. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I think a few of these thoughts that Peter had written gave him purpose in life, and I believe they will give us purpose in life. We have a reason to live. God bless you and continue to be faithful. Let's kneel for prayer.